PT Associates of Emporia now offers blood flow restricted rehabilitation, a progressive evidence-based treatment that utilizes an FDA-approved tourniquet to reduce blood flow to an extremity during exercise. Blood flow restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high-intensity workouts, including pre- and post-surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
Live from the historic Roger Hartsook Interview Room on the former campus of the College of Emporia, this is Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBinano.com, live and local on 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, KVOE. A good Saturday morning to you, and welcome into the football season proper. High school football back on our airwaves last night. Blake Cripps, Tim Miller, and Dylan Sherwood has made the trek back from Pittsburgh, Kansas. I gave him the option. I said, hey, you know, it's going to be like 2.5 hours. Now, unfortunately, they got back a little bit earlier than they were planning based on the running clock in the second half. But I said, hey, you don't have to come in if you don't want to. You are, you know, if you want to take the morning off. He said, you know what? Coach Glinsman's still scheduled to be on the show, so I'm going to be on the show. So, Dylan, you have my respect today. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
That you are dragging a little bit today, and understandably so.
Yeah, we pulled back into Emporia a little before 12:30, and I got done here about 1:30.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So basically, after the show, you're checking out the rest of the day.
I'm checking out the rest of the weekend, basically.
Hey, and I don't blame you a bit for doing that. And everybody here will understand, you know, so if there's
yesterday was a very long day for me.
Well, hey,
very long day. If everyone could hear me, let's see, what, morning show, midday, and then the game in Pittsburgh last night.
Sure.
I was on the air for quite a while
yesterday. So the news department, don't be assigning Dylan a news story this weekend.
All the glamour of small town radio.
Yeah, he will not be answering that. So, well, congratulations to you on a job well done. And obviously for Emporia High, not exactly the way that they drew up starting the season.
Yeah, and I can tell you this, just my early thoughts from last night. The defense was good early. I feel like stamina might have played a factor towards the end of the first half.
Well, you're asking your defense to be out there a lot.
Yeah, and I mean, I thought when Pittsburgh had that fourth and goal from the one.
Yeah,
and
they got that stand. That was a great defensive, probably the defensive play of the game.
Definitely, and I mean, they were able to force a fumble as well and recover it. And I mean, the defense kept them in the game early. And
there were too many mistakes on offense, and there were some special teams mistakes.
Yes, and there were some special teams issues. I mean, Coach Glinsman, they're going to evaluate the film and clean things up this week and getting ready for Wichita West coming to Welch Stadium on Friday. Wichita West played Topeka High last night. They only put 19 points on the board, Wichita West did, but Topeka High was able to put 50. I think it was at least 50 on the board. But I know Topeka High has a new football coach. He was formerly at Augusta, so good way for him to start his tenure at Topeka High. But, things should be interesting this coming week in practice for Emporia High, knowing they're seeing a 0-1 team coming into Welch Stadium.
Well, in the other game for Deaker and Hanson, it wasn't a great game over there either, with Olpe losing pretty big to what appears to be a very, very potent Osage City team. So congratulations to the Indians. You know, there's a lot of respect for Olpe Eagle football around here, and Indians hammered them. Now, it's only week one, but Osage City, it appears to be a program to be reckoned with here in 2024.
In the last four seasons for them, they have had two losses, and they gave Nemaha Central a good run in a quarterfinal last year in 2A, and Nemaha Central ended up winning it all in 2A.
Yeah, so the very, very good performance for the Osage City Indians yesterday. Coming up on the show, we will talk with Caden Glinsman. God, unfortunately, we're going to talk to two football coaches who lost last night. Caden Glinsman's coming up for Emporia High, and Chris Schmidt, the head coach of Olpe football, will come up. And then Tim, the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, will make his debut here today on KVOE. Mitch Holtis, after a very, very, and I mean inches away from being who knows what would have happened on the season opener, but it turned out to be a Chiefs victory.
Yeah, you know, two heavyweights in the AFC going at it in week one.
Sure felt like it, didn't it?
Yeah, and it certainly played out to be what we thought it would be, a very tightly contested game all the way to the bitter end. But, God, the Ravens, you know, they just talk too much. I mean, come on.
True.
I mean, after the game, you know, Lamar Jackson's talking about that he thought it was a touchdown, still does think it's a touchdown.
So, wow!
Based on what empirical data? You know, and I just...
I saw somebody on Facebook, they pointed out, like, oh, well, here's the angle that shows. I'm like, there's 1,000 other angles. What are you talking about? Did you watch it live?
You know,
I did not see it live. But, like, did you watch the replays they showed? He's clearly out of bounds. It's not, like, this is not a question.
Yeah, but still, you know, again, two really good teams. And the Chiefs, man, offensively, this is a team that has a lot of potential to be very, very potent. And we saw the impact that Xavier Worthy could have on this offense. Rashee Rice looked really good in the pass game. Of course, you figured Patrick Mahomes would look good. Hollywood Brown didn't even play. So this is a team that offensively could certainly be better than what we've seen the last year or two, which is kind of tough to believe. But they haven't had that big play potential, since Tyreek Hill, quite frankly. But boy, Xavier Worthy potentially. I'm not saying he's
sure
Tyreek Hill yet. Okay,
understandable.
But this guy with his speed potentially could be somewhat of a Tyreek Hill in this offense. And if you're a Chiefs fan, you had to be pretty darn excited. And the defense, you know, they made enough stops, which is all you got to. That's what you got to do. Just get stops. And they got enough to win the football game. But, boy, you got to be really excited the way the offense looked.
Well, one other thing that we're excited about is to bring back our Emporia Main Street Players of the Week, which start this week. One Emporia High athlete and one area athlete each week of the season starting today. Dylan, who's our Emporia High Main Street, Emporia Main Street Athlete of the Week?
Well, we're going to the girls' golf team for this week's Emporia High, Emporia Main Street Area Athlete of the Week.
I think that this, yeah. in to use a golf term, this would be a gimme,
yeah.
To name her the Athlete of the Week.
Especially when she has a school record, has the school record for best round, and even par 71 for Elise Eckert, who is our Emporia High, Emporia Main Street Athlete of the Week.
And how about an Area Athlete of the Week?
We're going to our Area Game of the Week. 5 touchdowns last night for Osage City's Kaysen Parsons. So Kaysen Parsons of the Osage City football team is our Emporia Main Street Area Athlete of the Week.
Yeah, 5 touchdowns in a game. I think I think two pretty easy choices for Dylan this week.
Yes.
They made it pretty easy for Dylan. So
yes.
Once again, if you've got an athlete that had a great performance during the week, you can get a hold of us here at KVOE. You can call us during business hours, 342-1400. That's 620-342-1400. Or you can email Dylan directly, SherwoodD@KVOE.com. That's SherwoodD@KVOE.com. If you'd like to nominate one of your athletes, if you're an athletic director, get a hold of Dylan. We'd love to get your athletes on the air with us. They get a plaque as an award for being an Emporia Main Street Athlete of the Week. And if they win the Athlete of the Week, of course, they are in the running for the Emporia Main Street Athletes of the Year at the end of the season.
And so. And that's an award that's given to seniors every year. So it's a senior only award.
And there's some scholarship money that comes along to that. So we invite you to participate and get your athlete in the running for that award at the end of the season. Let's take a timeout. Caden Glinsman will join us. The head football coach for Emporia High is up next here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by longbineauto.com.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
At Longmont Auto Plaza in Emporia, prices are falling during Chevy truck season. We have some great truck season offers on our inventory of new Silverado models in stock. Get a 2024 Silverado 1500 Crew Cab 4x4 with heated leather bucket seats, V8 engine, spray-on bed liner, multi-pro tailgate, and get $8,500 off MSRP. Or choose from our inventory of Silverado Customs, LTs, RSTs, Trail Boss, LTZ, or a top-of-the-line High Country model. And you can be one of those that passes by the gas pumps and drive one of our new Chevy EV models, like the new Chevy Blazer EV RS all-wheel drive and the 2024 Equinox RS EV model. Both in stock now. It's Chevy truck season going on right now. For great offers and great savings, come see our best inventory in years at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia or visit us online 24/7 at longbineauto.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. On Tuesday, there was a shocker in women's volleyball as number 2 Nebraska was upset by unranked SMU. The new ACC members put on a show for their record home crowd, sweeping the Huskers in 3 sets. The Mustangs were led by outside hitter Naya Shime, who finished with 9 kills and 5 blocks. Behind head coach Sam Erger, SMU grabbed one of the biggest wins in program history.
SMU is on the rise. Women's sports are on the rise. Volleyball is on the rise. Big-time players want to play big-time volleyball in a big-time environment, and we can do that here in Dallas at SMU.
Nebraska is one of the powerhouses of the sport. They had not lost to an unranked opponent since 2017. The Canton Classic, next on This Week in the NCAA.
Guess what, people? Wendy's has new saucy nugs. You heard me. Wendy's nugs now come in 7 saucy flavors. Buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, spicy ghost pepper. You can literally hear your taste buds after every bite. I'm serious. Listen to mine. Okay, that's just me playing with sound effects, but you get the idea. For a whole new way to nug, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Here's a handoff instead to Jamil Williams, who takes a Tiger defender into the end zone with him. Touchdown, Virginia State. Jamil Williams took George Jolla for a ride into the end zone, and the Trojans take the second half kickoff and drive for 6. It's 22-7.
Troy Clardy with the call right here on Westwood One as Virginia State dominated in last Sunday's Black College Football Hall of Fame Classic. The event is held every year between 2 HBCU schools in Canton, Ohio. With the victory over their fellow Division II program, Virginia State ended Benedict College's 20-game regular season winning streak. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by longbineauto.com. Up next on the show this morning, we begin our normal regular season chats with the head football coach of Emporia High, Caden Glinsman. And coach, obviously, just like Dylan, a very, very late return for you from Pittsburgh. We appreciate the time and getting up this morning, but I know you feel like there's a lot of work to do for your team. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, last night, obviously, a difficult start for you guys. Pretty good play there in the first quarter, but obviously the second quarter kind of slipped away. What were your overall thoughts on the week one?
Yeah, I think first of all, you know, I think our defense actually came out and played really well. You know, we were able to get a couple of stops. I just think early, you know, the mistakes rhythm-wise, especially on offense, we weren't able to maintain drives. We weren't able to stay out on the field, and I think that really hurt our defense. Didn't put them in a position that they could be successful in. But, you know, I think there were moments of excellence. I just think that we weren't consistent enough. And, you know, especially when we let that, you know, like you said, that second quarter, you know, I think they scored 14 points in 36 seconds. And a lot of that, it didn't have to do with them so much as it had to do with us. And so we need to just look inward and, you know, continue to get better.
Well, and the coach, the preseason talk has been about how youthful this football team is. And you know, you can go through practices, obviously, but until you actually get under the lights on a Friday, you know, some of those guys don't really know what they're up against in terms of the opposition. And so hopefully, if nothing else, this at least gets them some experience under their belt, and they hopefully will feel a little more comfortable then as they go into week two.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you just said it, you know, you don't want to play this many young guys, especially at the 5 and 6A level. But that was just kind of a necessity for us. You know, our best players play, and you know, especially with the rash of injuries that we had this last week. You know, we started a 5'10", 130-pound freshman at strong safety. So, you know, I just think that, you know, like you said, we're super young. And you know, Dylan and I talked earlier this week. To steal a Nick Saban quote, it's about getting the right guys on the bus, and I think we're getting closer to that. I think you saw the resilience of our team on the sideline. You know, guys weren't necessarily hanging their heads. You know, they were encouraging each other all the way through, and you know, that's something to definitely build on.
Can you talk about Talon Kirk? And, you know, he was a projected, you know, defensive-only guy, and he had to move into a slot receiver spot for Tarek Franklin, who was one of your key guys out last night.
Yeah, you know, and it was funny, the one time he caught the touchdown pass, he actually lined up incorrectly, and I'm about to call a timeout, and it ended up working out okay. So, yeah, it's just he's just a prime example of a guy, you know, we're trying to get on the field. We know he's going to be a really good Emporia Spartan for a long time, and, you know, trying to get him to be successful on defense, and you know, he's kind of thrust into an offensive role, and you know, he did as well as he possibly could have.
Caden Glinsman is our guest, the head football coach for Emporia High. One real bright spot, obviously, was the 59-yard touchdown run by Ryland Crowell in the fourth quarter. What did you see on that play, and how nice was that for him to get that score at the end of the game?
Yeah, I think that Ryland's a great young man. We're trying to get him the ball as much as we possibly can. I mean, we'd be silly not to. I think the biggest thing is that play probably should have happened 5 or 6 or 7 times. Maybe not to that extent, but throughout the game, you know, we'd had that play. That wasn't a new play for us. We ran it 5 or 6 or 7 times, but because of a bad snap or a blocked assignment, missed assignment up front, you know, it just didn't work out. And so, you know, those are things that we're going to reflect on Monday when we watch film with the team is, you know, we had those chances. We just weren't able to be consistent.
I was just going to ask you, Coach, about the offense in terms of what you saw, whether it was just some execution lapses. I mean, I guess maybe my point being, are these things you feel like can certainly be fixed as you move through the course of the season?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, when you think about having a sophomore quarterback who's leading the whole show, right, and, you know, you've got receivers asking him, you know, as we're going to the line of scrimmage, you know, what route they're running, that's really hard for a 15-year-old. To be able to process a varsity defense, try to, you know, manage the players on his team, you know, and then, you know, when he's trying to diagnose the defense, being able to, you know, catch a bad snap, you know, and then still trying to be able to get the ball off, you know, and to the right read and on rhythm. That's tough. And so there's a lot of things we can definitely improve on. There's a lot of season left. So we'll get after it.
Coach, can you talk a little bit about Garrett LeBlanc? He had a couple of good returns special teams-wise, and if he's able to find a seam, he might be able to return one and take it to the house.
Yeah, I think he's a track star for sure. You know, he's explosive. He's a strider. You know, he's a guy that we depend on defensively. You know, he's definitely a leader of the defense, and again, being a sophomore, hopefully he's got a lot of Emporia High snaps ahead of him. You know, we're just really excited about what we have for the future in him and you know, that sophomore class.
Coach, and we're talking with Caden Glidsman, head football coach for Emporia High. They are back in action against Wichita West on Friday. That game will be back over on KVOE as normal Friday night next week, KVOE 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. Coach, it felt like there were a lot of positive plays for you as a unit defensively in the game, but as you mentioned, just didn't get enough assistance from the offense to keep them fresh throughout the game. How big did it feel on the sideline, down 14 to nothing, to come up with a goal line stand, and then you guys got a first down right after that? It felt like at that point, okay, Emporia High is starting to build momentum, not able to sustain it, but that doesn't start unless your defense makes a terrific, terrific stop there at the goal line.
Yeah, that's a huge football play, and being able to create that stand, I think that's something we can reflect back on being a big positive for us. When we move forward this upcoming week, I think Coach Traer's done a phenomenal job with the defense, and again, we're super young there, but we're trying to put our players in a position to be successful. And yeah, like you said, we get the big turnover, we were able to get a first down, get out of the shadow of our own goalpost, and then just weren't able to consistently. Put play after play together and had to punt that thing away.
Coach, you mentioned a rash of injuries previous week. How about coming out of last night's game? Did you come out relatively healthy?
I wouldn't say so. We have some day-to-day stuff. Pedro Paderna is a guy that we depend on to play center. I don't know how he's going to be this upcoming week. He's got an ankle thing. Ben Collins is a huge loss for us. Probably one of our best defensive linemen, especially a sophomore that plays our field end position. He's probably going to be done for a little bit. I'll talk with our athletic trainer and we'll see what other things come in the coming week. So.
Coach, your early thoughts on Wichita West, and they'll be coming in here 0-1 after a 52-19 loss to Topeka High last night.
Yeah, we actually just got their film, so the assistants are watching that thing right now as I'm talking to you. I just know that Jeremy Moss is the head coach at Wichita West, and he's going to get those guys to play extremely hard. I coached with him at Wichita Heights 2015, 16, and 17, so I know him well, and he's a great leader of men, and I know he's going to get his guys to play extremely hard.
Caden Glidsman, the head football coach for Emporia High. Once again, the Spartans taking on the Pioneers next week, 7 o'clock for the kickoff, 6:30 pregame on 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, KVOE. Appreciate it, Coach. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Head coach, and that's a long drive back, whether you win or lose, but it's a long drive back. Really appreciate Coach waking up here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk with us. Of course, we are driven by longbondauto.com, and a little bit shorter drive home for him, but we also appreciate head coach Chris Schmidt, the head football coach of Opie. He'll be joining us next to talk about the Opie Eagles. That's next here on SMST, driven by longbondauto.com.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
Home inventory in Emporia continues to be tight. A mortgage pre-approval from Emporia State Federal Credit Union can give you a leg up with sellers, proving you're a serious buyer with the means to purchase a home. With a short phone call to Jared Gurman or Isabel Garcia or easy online application, you can be pre-approved. Tell your realtor you'll be using Emporia State Federal Credit Union to finance your new home. Equal housing lender insured by NCUA, NMLS 424-226.
At Longmont Auto Plaza in Emporia, prices are falling during Chevy truck season. We have some great truck season offers on our inventory of new Silverado models in stock. Get a 2024 Silverado 1500 Crew Cab 4x4 with heated leather bucket seats, V8 engine, spray-on bed liner, multi-pro tailgate, and get $8,500 off MSRP. Or choose from our inventory of Silverado Customs, LTs, RSTs, Trail Boss, LTZ, or a top-of-the-line High Country model. And you can be one of those that passes by the gas pumps and drive one of our new Chevy EV models, like the new Chevy Blazer EV RS all-wheel drive and the 2024 Equinox RS EV model. both in stock now. It's Chevy truck season going on right now. For great offers and great savings, come see our best inventory in years at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Or visit us online 24/7 at longbineauto.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
I'm Jim Bask. We'll kick it off with the NFL in South America for the very first time.
Two receivers to the near side. Jahan Dotson to the far side. Hurts back. Hurts looking. Hurts looping it. And it is caught for a touchdown by Barkley. Barkley for a touchdown and a perfect pass as he beats Isaiah McDuffie.
That's 94 WIP. Saquon Barkley scored three touchdowns in his Eagles debut. Philadelphia 34-29 past the Packers. Jordan Love landed awkwardly late, walked off, missing the final two snaps. U.S. Open men's title will include an American, Taylor Fritz, lasting Francis Tiafoe in five sets. Top-ranked Jannik Sinner, a straight-set winner over Jack Draper in search of a second Grand Slam this year. Jessica Pegula will take on Aryna Sabalenka in the U.S. Open women's title today. To baseball, the Mets continue their role. That's eight straight. Mark Vientos, the walk-off two-run jack in a 6-4 win over the Reds. Yordan Alvarez hit two three-run home runs. Astros blank the Diamondbacks 8-0. Trey Turner, triple shy of the cycle as the Phillies just blast the Marlins 16-2. Shohei Ohtani at his 45th home run, knocked in his 100th run, but the Guardians beat the Dodgers 3-1. Gunnar Henderson, his 36th home run. Baltimore blanks Tampa 2-0. Stay a half game in front of the Yankees, who got a 3-0 win at Wrigley Field. Red Sox hand the White Sox their 110th loss 3-1. While Manny Machado homered twice to tie a San Diego home run record, 163 in a Pods uniform, 5-1 winners over the Giants. Braves keep pace with the Mets as they get a 3-1 win over Toronto. Nafisha Collier scored 9 of her 26 in the third quarter. Lynx overcame a 25-point night from Caitlin Clark to snap Indiana's 5-game winning streak, 99-88.
My son loves to fly kites, but my active psoriatic arthritis can sometimes hold me back. Now with Skyrizi to treat my skin and joints, I'm ready to go. Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults, helps with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. For those who also have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible with just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi today and visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com. Back with our second guest of three here today, as it's an all-football show here on SMST. Joining us now, the head football coach for the Opie Eagles. Opie opening up its season last night with a loss to Osage City, 41-0. Chris Schmidt is the head football coach at Opie High. Coach Schmidt, thanks so much for waking up this morning with us.
You bet. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
You're very welcome. We weren't trying to have two losing coaches on this morning. I appreciate you coming on. I know that you have a ton of respect for Osage City and what they have accomplished. And, you know, any win against the Opie Eagles, I think, is one that'll be a feather in their cap. But overall, what were your thoughts on week one and where you guys need to move from here?
Credit goes to Coach Ganbein and the team. I thought they kept in and really were solid all the way around. For us, again, it's a learning experience. I felt going in it was going to be a tough challenge, but there was some things that I thought we'd do a little better than what we did last night. But, again, the credit goes to them. And the good thing about this is week one, we found out what we got to get better at, and we can start that, you know, preparing that in week two here for next week. So I think these kids will take that challenge on, and we'll make some strides.
Well, Coach, it goes without saying that just not accustomed, certainly, to seeing Olpe at the end of a game like that. As you get your team ready for week two, is it all, not just a physical preparation and game preparation, but do you have to do anything with the mental approach to week two?
Oh, I think so. I think it's preparation is a lot of mental preparation anyway, even before you get beat like you did last night. So, but that's our challenge. You know, that's the coach's challenge to get those kids to respond. We'll start that Monday when we watch film and then go out to the field. And again, I told them after the game last night that they will be challenged. But that's our job. We are going to push them because we feel that there's a lot more in there that we can get out of them. And, you know, we're going to do that to our very best abilities to get that to come out. And we want to start right now. We don't want to wait another 2 weeks.
And, Coach, I know you like to challenge your team, especially with the schedule that you make every 2 years. And I know you like playing Osage and, you know, playing teams that have a good close vicinity. But what makes these challenges good for your football team when it comes to district play?
Well, it just prepares you, Dylan. You know, like Kason, he's a good ball player. He's not the only one they had last night, but obviously he kind of is their leader. You know, we saw him last year, and he's going to have a good season for him. But we're going to see a lot of good quarterbacks in our district. You know, Rossville's got a good quarterback. The kids from Carpareville is back. So seeing these type of athletes now, you know, doesn't surprise us down the road. And we got one next week, South Sumner. You know, they've been very good in 8-man the last 3 years. They moved up to 11-man this year, and their quarterback's got a lot of the same skill set. So seeing that kind of stuff, it's going to prepare for district, and that's our goal. Once we get to district, we want to, you know, do as well as we can. And like I said last night, the way the state's set up, everybody makes the playoffs. Week 9 is basically a playoff game. So even if you were a 3 or 4 seed, you're in it. Now, obviously, the road is a lot tougher if you're a 3 or 4 seed. If you're a 1 or 2 in your district, it might be, you know, a little smoother. But we'll start on Monday getting better at things, and nothing but this part prepares us for down the road.
We're talking with Chris Schmidt. He's the head football coach at Olpe. Coach, it's one thing to hear, you know, Michael Deeker and Ken Hansen say it on the air about how good that Kason Parsons was. I think it's even more informative to ask the opposing coach about a kid who's also in our listening area. How good was Parsons yesterday, rushing for 107 yards, passing for 142 yards? He seemed really, really good.
You know, but I'm one of those coaches that I think it starts up front. You know, I think their line did a good job and helped things out. But when Garson has time to throw the ball like he did, he's going to be tough to stop. And they got kids outside that can go get a ball and get open. So then that aspect of his running, you know, they ran some draws against us and he made a couple guys miss. It's kind of a one-on-one situation at times. And he was the better kid last night, but, you know, again, I think he's in for a good year. I think them as a team, they have a shot to do some things down the road, but I'm sure they're not satisfied either. So, seeing that type of stuff is, again, doesn't feel real good this morning, but in the long run, it'll help us out down the road.
Coach Schmidt, what were some things that you feel like that even in the loss, you felt like coming away, you know, these are some things we can build on? What were some things you felt like your team did well?
Well, I felt like as the game progressed, we got a little more aggressive. I still think as I'm watching film, that's our biggest thing is we're thinking too much at the snap of the ball and on our reads or whatever, you know, like if we're blocking scheme, We're just not quite sure when the ball snapped. If I'm going to this guy, that's what I saw last night, and they made us pay for it. But, you know, there was times in the second half I thought we did some things. Defensively, we made some adjustments and got a little bit more aggressive. We still, in the second half, gave up two pretty easy touchdowns. Other than that, we did a pretty good job, but one was a blown coverage and one was a draw by Parsons up the middle that, I mean, we had people there. We just didn't make the play. So there are some things there, but there's a lot of things we got to get better at.
And, Coach, I know, you know, Dexton Holting coming back at quarterback, you know, coming off an injury after playing three games last year. How's he kind of adjusting back to the role that he was in the first three games of last year?
Well, he reminded me of Dexton, a gritty kid. He played hard last night. He got banged around a little bit, didn't have a whole bunch of time when we went back, and he made some things happen on some plays by scrambling and he found a couple things down the sideline and that kind of thing by keeping plays alive. And he's a battler. He's just going to get more and more better. You know, each week I think he'll get more routine. Last night I think he was pretty anxious going in a game and getting hit, you know, because we hit in practice, but not like you're going to do in a game. And so I think he was a little sore last night, like probably a lot of our kids, go Monday.
Chris Schmidt, our guest. He is the head football coach at Olpe. Coach, as you move to week two on the season, what's the focus going to be in practice for you guys? Because as you mentioned, you know, it's one thing to kind of look at your team and you have guests, maybe you play in some jamborees and you get some sort of a look at what you guys are going to be good at or not good at. But it's, you know, from Caden Glitzman to Coach Higgins, they all say the same thing. You really don't know until you get the pads on against a team that's not wearing your colors. So now that you've got that information, how does that change how you guys will approach this practice now that you've got actual game film to look at for this year's team playing against somebody else that's not you?
Like I said earlier, I think the biggest thing is we got to be aggressive. We were kind of sitting on our heels last night, and that's got to change. We got to react. Got to read our reads defensively, and we got to fill a hole and that kind of thing, and make that decision 1,001, 1,000, and be going where we want to go. And offensively, you know, it starts up front. We got to get some movement off the line of scrimmage. Last night we had a tough time getting them moved, and again, we got to think about angles and the easiest way to get somebody off, you know, moving the way we want them to, and then just get some confident, some positive stuff. Early in the game would be nice. One thing is I'm watching film on who we're playing next. They run a lot of the same stuff offensively. It's very similar. So it's not like we're going to have to change our mind and scout for a single wing offense or something like that. It's going to be very similar to what we saw last night. So I think that will help us make those adjustments a little quicker. Hopefully we'll make that stride.
Once again, it is Olpe taking on South Sumner next week on the road as Olpe looks to get their first win of the season. Head coach Chris Schmidt, the head football coach of the Olpe Eagles in our area game of the week last night. Coach, appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
You bet. Thanks for having me, guys. Have a good week.
Thank you, sir. Have a great rest of your weekend. The head football coach of the Olpe Eagles, Chris Schmidt. Want to remind you that our next area football game of the week is coming up next week. Taken Trahoon will be on the call for you next week as it will be Lebo at Northern Heights. And that'll be on Mix 104.9 next week with a 7 o'clock kickoff. Now it's time to turn our attention to one of our favorite segments. It's always a great time of the year when Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Chiefs, calls in. And he, of course, is brought to you by Lyon County's number one mortgage lender, Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Contact Isabel Garcia or Jared Gurman for the credit union advantage in securing your first or next home loan. Equal housing opportunity. Terms and conditions apply, subject to credit approval. NMLS number 424226. And Mitch, I know that since you've had a game already, you've had to move on. The team has had to move on. But you know what? We're still allowed to not have moved on completely. The first question has to be about a back-to-back Super Bowl championship for the Kansas City Chiefs. What a time to be in the Chiefs' kingdom.
And just to have a shot at trying to do it again. excuse me, I still haven't got my voice back from Thursday. But the fact that this team has a shot at doing something that's never been done before, and as I mentioned at the open of my broadcast, nobody has to say a word. Blake, that's the most impressive thing, and that's what I try to emanate through my training camp reports with you guys every day, was that this team is on task. That there's no T-shirts, no bumper stickers, nothing painted on the wall. They just know. And they played that way the other night. That was a hard victory.
Also, before we move on, we're going to ask you, the next question will be about Baltimore, but I know that a lot of people inside the Chiefs kingdom are probably aware of the issues that Art Haynes has had with his help and coming back. This is going to be his last year as the voice of the Bears, but he's returned to the Chiefs radio network and has been working with you guys again pre- and post-game, and it's been sounding great. I just wanted to ask about Art and how he's doing and handling everything and handling it with so much class, like you knew that Art would.
Yeah, it's been a struggle, Blake. I don't mind telling you. And truthfully, it's been somewhat devastating that one mosquito bite, has led to this. And it's just been very difficult for him to try to recover. And it's just a challenge. I mean, we thought he would pass away. When we got on the plane in Indianapolis 2 years ago, 2022, we thought that he would not make the weekend. And here he is. He's been courageous, but he's just not in very good shape, and he tries to fight through it. He doesn't have the energy. His voice isn't as strong, and it's just been such a burden on him and his family, but he's got resolve. And next year will be his final game as the Missouri State Bears voice will be against his alma mater, SMU, at Plaster Stadium in Springfield. Well, it'll be an emotional game. It'll be awesome. But, I mean, because Missouri State's going FBS next year.
Yes.
Anyway, that one and Greg Sharp at Nebraska, and he's got Colorado today. He's taking it week by week. People who follow me on Twitter saw that it was up there this summer, and the Big Ten Network did an incredible feature on him, but Greg's fighting it. He's got pancreatic cancer. It's in his lungs, his kidneys. He's in a fight for his life every week. He will not do Husker road games, but as long as he can do Husker home games, he's going to do it. And everybody prayed him to that UTEP game. But those are two prominent, excellent broadcasters who have faced literally life-altering situations. But they both have excellent faith. They have resolve and great examples to us all.
Well, and Greg Sharp, obviously, huge Kansas ties, a long time mainstay at WIBW. Grew up listening to him in Topeka, Kansas, and called plenty of Kansas State Wildcat games over the years. So another Kansas tie for him. All right, great words for both of those guys, but I wanted to ask about Art. It's been great to hear him back. He's been such a big part of the network for a number of years. So, well, Tim, on to Baltimore and another great Chiefs conversation.
Yeah, great Chiefs conversation. Great way to start the season. And Mitch, the guy I want to talk about first, just because he had such an impact, although he only touched the ball three times, Xavier Worthy. A young man that I knew that they certainly expected big things from. I don't know if they expected it necessarily right out of the chute in week one, but man, what an impact he has on this offense. Two touchdowns, plus just the fact he's on the field, it opens so many things up for other guys in the offense.
Yeah, no doubt. And he also, the Chiefs are getting more than they thought from him. And Blake could help me out here. I don't know what day I featured him on the 20 reports. That was the last week because I did the rookies. It all blurs together.
I'm aware. Him,
yeah, on that report, I mentioned that the Chiefs are getting Tim more than they thought they were getting. You know you're getting the 4.2 speed. But they're getting a tough kid. You know, there's a knock on Texas kids, University of Texas kids, for soft or pampered or he's a Fresno, California kid. He followed Steve Sarkisian there. And he's a tough nut now. He's not as strong as Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill is amazingly strong in his lower body and his core. But it's not that Xavier's weak. So he's smart. He can absorb a lot of information. He has to learn every receiver position. And that's what the Chiefs are getting along with all this speed. And that showed up the other night. Because the kid's got some grit.
Mitch, I know Carson Steele was able to play a little bit and was able to make the roster after the preseason. What kind of an impact do you think Carson Steele can make for the Chiefs?
Well, I'm going to put that whole running back room into this answer because I'm very excited about it now. I was worried about it going into camp and during camp, and then I saw two things happen. One was Carson Steele emerge into someone who could be a factor. Now, he's not going to be NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year, but his ability to give the Chiefs a Darrell Williams-type player. Go back in a couple of years ago, I just saw Darrell was at the game and gave me this big hug. He does not have the speed of a Damian Williams, Carson does, and he's 4'6", 4'7", in the 40. But he's super strong, and he's going to get 5 yards out of a play that looks like it's going to get one. Now, that's gigantic for this team. The other thing is the acquisition of Samaje Perine. Under the radar, it was the day of our kickoff luncheon. Beach tells me, you know, I'm not going to be at the kickoff luncheon. Yeah, I know, because it's waiver day. And the cuts were made on Tuesday. All the waiver claims are getting done Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, and you're putting your practice squad together on Wednesday. Well, I'm in front of 1,100 people at the kickoff luncheon. No Beach. We're figuring out how we're going to fill that part of the program out. And then, as soon as I walk off the stage, I'm getting pinged that we signed some up for JP Ryan. I would have poured champagne on my head. It's a third down back with power. I mean, and we saw it the other night. If Pat doesn't put so much mustard on that one throw, that's a walk-in touchdown. So, here's my answer to you, Dylan, is the fact that you take now, Pacheco has a compliment in Steele. The whole team has a legitimate third down back in Samaje Perine that fills in the void of losing Jerick McKinnon. I'm going to do a whole Minute with Mitch feature this week on television and radio on Samaje Perine alone and what it means for this team. And then you plug Steele in, and all of a sudden, a room that was full of question marks is now full of excitement.
And by the way, you can hear that Minute with Mitch every Wednesday in our noon hour of news and information over on the home for the Chiefs here in Emporia, Country 101.7, talking with the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis. And Mitch, watching and listening to the game, there was a lot of conversation coming into the game about Lamar Jackson and how good he was, and appropriately so. He's a great talent, but I didn't feel like, you know, in the lead-up that the Chiefs' defense really got all of the accolades and all of the attention that maybe they deserved. And I know that there were some open plays for Lamar that he didn't make, but I thought that the defense played pretty well. Can you talk us through week one for the Chiefs' defense and holding down this Baltimore offense to just 20 points?
I'll lay out what I think was the key to the game. And, yes, he missed Zay Flowers, and we can look at that. But you guys all cover football. You all do play-by-play of football, and I don't care if it's the Lebo Wolves or Smith Center or Emporia State. Football is a fascinating game because you'll have 70 plays on for both teams having maybe, depending on the game, 50, 60, 70 snaps. And we look at two or three snaps that jump out.
Yeah.
But overall, we all know there's 100 things that can happen. Now, here's why I'm saying this. Like, there were seven straight possessions the Ravens were in Chiefs territory to end that game. One was a touchdown with the Isaiah Likely 49.5-yard play, which was kind of strange, and a great play by Lamar. But six possessions ended in 6 points. And there's my answer to you.
It's pretty good.
This defense for the Chiefs is really, really good. Really good. Leo Chenal was great. It was Nick Bolton's worst game. It was Leo Chenal's best game. And he had to spy and shadow Lamar Jackson, who I thought played at his 2019-2021 level, and not just scramble runs, but they went back to the old Ravens of quarterback design runs that were very effective. But for the most part, the Chiefs mitigated those losses. Derrick Henry's longest run was, what, 8 or 9 yards? And so the defense was superb. I'm glad you bring it up because we just kind of take those dudes for granted and want to talk about offense all the time.
Mitch, Patrick Mahomes becomes the all-time leading passer in Chiefs history. We knew it was just going to be a matter of time, obviously, before that happened. But passes Len Dawson. That had to mean a little something to you, too, as close as you were to Lenny.
It was. It was a very emotional moment, Tim. Now, it took Pat 6 years and 2 games. It took Lenny 15 years. But still, it was a moment. And when, in my prep that week, and with this team and with Mahomes and Kelsey and all these guys, we have actually a meeting. We go through record watch where, I mean, records are flying off the board every game with these guys. And so you want to capture it for NFL films or posterity or for Chiefs posterity for the franchise. So you wanted to make that happen. But it was emotional because I did think of Lenny, thinking I just had 25 years where I'm standing by this guy, my boyhood hero, and he just got passed up by a guy that's got me 3 Super Bowl rings. But then I thought, too, and I even said it on the play-by-play, Jim, that it was poetic that it went to Kelce. It went to Kelce for 23 yards. It was Kelce that caught the pass that was the record maker, because those two obviously will go down as not the greatest combo, one of the top 2 or 3 combos of pass catcher, pass thrower in NFL history.
Well, Mitch, now it's on to the Cincinnati Bengals next Sunday. I mean, I know we'll talk a little bit about the Bengals a little more next week when we talk to you, but you know, just your early thoughts on the Bengals and, you know, with Joe Burrow back and, you know, it sounds like T. Higgins probably will not be playing tomorrow and Ja'Marr Chase could be limited as well. So what's keeping your eyes on the Bengals tomorrow as they get ready for New England before they come to GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium next Sunday?
Dylan, you know, the second biggest thing that the Chiefs have done to lead to this incredible run that Blake laid out, other than drafting Mahomes, and this is hindsight now. We have the benefit of hindsight. I'll answer my own question. It was disallowing Tyreek Hill to hijack the salary cap. We got something going on in the NFL right now, and these wide receivers are hijacking salary caps. Now, the quarterback is a different story. If I get the quarterback that I think is my franchise guy, and it's, we've proven it, Lamar Jackson comes to mind, like, okay, I'm going to, or Josh Allen, he's shown enough, like, you know, we can win it with this guy, then we'll give him the big money. These wide receivers are running around going, I got to be the highest paid wide receiver in the league. And it happens every week. So here is Ja'Marr Chase hijacking these guys. And now T. Higgins is hurt. So now they don't have either one of these guys for the Patriots. They'll beat the Patriots without those guys, but will they be ready for us in the following week? I mean, they're going to try to get him ready, but what's Ja'Marr Chase doing? A hold in, and he's got to be the highest paid guy, and he saw what Justin Jefferson got, and he goes, I think he paid a whole lot more than that guy. What are we doing? Because one thing college football is doing every year, it's almost guaranteed, and what is that? It is pumping out wide receivers like an ATM machine. Look at how many wide receivers is coming out every year. Mm. We love wide receivers because of fantasy football, and we overvalue them. They're important. We've got to have them. And I don't want to make Xavier Worthy or Hollywood Brown or those guys mad at me. But look at our team. We don't have some dude we don't have CeeDee Lamb that's getting $1 bazillion that precludes us from doing other things. I mean, so to me, that's my answer on this day. Next week, it'll be more football-y and jump into it, but I think they're hijacked. I think Zach Taylor's a really good coach. I admire him. I really admire the family. Sherwood Taylor, I've known for a long time, and that's a good family. But I feel like Zach Taylor would do things different. He would do things more like Coach Reed if he was allowed, and that is to put a little sense and sensibility into that team. They're screwing this up, quite honestly, because they've got talent and Burrow's there. But what are they doing? They've lost a lot of dudes too. So has Baltimore. Baltimore lost 17 guys. So, but when a quarterback or a wide receiver step, they're going, I got to be the highest paid dude. It leads to overvalue, even for the most elite guys, because Xavier Worthy's coming in the next draft somewhere. There's a whole bunch of wide receivers. Look at the cat from Colorado. I mean, that's what everybody – they're pumping that out every year because everybody wants to play wide receiver on the high school team. So it's – that's my reaction to Cincinnati right now. And T. Higgins isn't that guy, but now he's hurt. And so when your other diva guy's out, he's playing the – whatever he's playing, and the next guy's out, what do you have if you're Joe Burrow? So I just – you cannot let wide receivers hijack your team.
One guy that we won't overvalue is Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Chiefs. Impossible to do that. He's brought to you by Lyon County's number one mortgage lender. Can't overvalue Emporia State Federal Credit Union either. Contact Isabel Garcia or Jared Gurman for the credit union advantage at securing your first or next home loan. Equal housing opportunity. Terms and conditions apply. Subject to credit approval. NMLS number 424-226. Mitch will be on with us every Saturday throughout the season. And Mitch, here's hoping that we'll be talking to you in February for another year.
Wow. Think about that. If we're going to pull this off, it's going all the way to Valentine's Day there, Blake.
Yeah, I know.
I'll just say this. So just say this, though. I mean, I'll say this to all your great fans. Tim's eating up the salary cap. So
I wish.
It ain't me. I'm T. Higgins. It's Tim. And then we got these young guys. See what happens, Tim? You get these young dudes coming in like Dylan and Blake. And they're their value guys, right? Yes, you're paying them rookie minimum.
That's right. And,
we'll eat all the money. All right.
Thanks, Mitch.
Thanks, Mitch.
See you, boys.
Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Chiefs, and we'll have him on next week as we get set for the Chiefs and the Bengals. We are absolutely stacked today on the KVOE network of stations. Tegan Trahoon will start broadcasting on all three stations here in about 90 minutes, getting you set for live at the Hive and ahead of Emporia State football today. Kansas State football hopefully is on the air. I'm going to go check it right now over on Country 101.7, Kansas State at Tulane today. We've got a big college football matchup for you right here on KVOE with pregame here in about an hour and a half. Texas at Michigan today. That kicks at 11. Of course, I'll be on the air with you this afternoon. A 1 o'clock kickoff, Emporia State versus Angelo State. A noon pregame on the Hornet Sports Network. You can hear it here locally on Mix 104.9. And then Chuck Samples will be broadcasting halfway to everywhere from 4 to 5:30 on the KVOE network of stations. Royals baseball on this frequency tonight, 6:10 first pitch for the Royals and the Twins. Nice win for the Royals yesterday, 5:30 pregame. And then KU football, because the Royals don't absolutely suck this year, they will be moved over to Country 101.7 so that we can bring you Royals baseball. So KU at Illinois, 4:30 pregame over on Country 101.7 when Kansas State is done. And that'll be a 6 p.m. start time over there. Tomorrow, our first show of the NFL Insider, half an hour, 11:30 in the morning, taking you right up to kickoff. So get on the air with us and then flip over to your TV for the kickoff for the NFL games tomorrow. You'll keep it right here and have the Royals on in the background. They take on the Twins, a 1:10 start on KVOE. And then it's the debut of Sunday Night Football, Rams and Lions on Sunday on your home for all the primetime games all season long. Westwood One is on KVOE. That is a 7:30 kickoff for the Rams and the Lions. That is it for us for now. Guys, have a great rest of your weekend. Thank you all for listening. Thank you to our great guests, Coach Schmidt, Coach Klinsman, and of course, Mitch Holtis. For Tim Mueller, for Dylan Sherwood, Blake Cripps, this is KVOE Emporia. We'll rejoin the Infinity Sports Network here in just a moment, right here on KVOE, live and local.
Ryan Radke here from Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. Mike Golick and I are set for week.